Let us pray. I'm always eternal and everlasting Father, King of kings, Lord of lords. What a great God that you are. Your wisdom beyond human comprehension. Your power beyond human comprehension. Everything about you we can't comprehend. But you have so graciously given us a glimpse of who you are, revealed it in all your works in creation and in our redemption. What a privilege that we can worship you and call you a Father. We realize that the human mind cannot really comprehend anything about you apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So understanding just a little about you causes us to praise you, to thank you, and to join the elect in heaven that see your face as they praise you and worship you. So we join them to say, may all glory, honor, dominion, power, majesty belong to you, for you deserve them. Ours is that wonderment that we should even be called your children and given this high privilege. But we thank you that we have a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who plays on our behalf. Father, we recognize that there are members of this congregation who are having serious health problems. But we do know that you have the power to heal them. So we plead, you know who they are, meet this need. For we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We're still dealing with Psalms 89, verses 15 through 18, that we're dealing with the truly happy of this passage, the truly happy ones. It reads again, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness. For you are their glory and strength, and by your favor you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Now we are considering the characteristics of the truly happy persons as given in Psalms 89, verses 15 through 18. Now the first that we have considered is acquaintance or experience in shouts of joyful acclaim to the Lord with words that are, of course, meaningful in the temple worship of the Old Testament. So in effect, the people described as truly happy were those involved in temple worship where God was praised. And for us today, we say the same thing, those who are able to proclaim all the time the goodness of God, tell about what he does. These are those who are truly happy. So these individuals in the Old Testament time praise God publicly in different situations of life, especially as they experience his goodness. So we should, if we are truly happy persons, we should be the people who do the same thing. So now, having looked at the first characteristic last week, we proceed to the second characteristic of the persons who are truly happy as viewed in this passage. A second characteristic of the persons who are truly happy is that they conduct or live their lives always mindful of the presence of God. Second characteristic, that they conduct their lives or live their lives always mindful of the presence of God. It is this characteristic that is given there in the second clause of Psalm 89, verse 15, when it says, who walk in the light of your presence. Who walk in the light of your presence. Now, literally, the Hebrew actually reads, they walk about in the light of your face. Let me say that again. They walk about in the light of your face. Now, this is because of the Hebrew words used that we will examine shortly. Now, meanwhile, though, you may wonder if our second characteristic is indeed true to the clause that we cited, because we use the word conduct or live in stating the second characteristic. If that is the case, let me begin by showing you how we derive this sense of conduct or living lives in the second characteristic because of the word walk. When they say those who walk in the light of your presence. See, that word walk is translated from a Hebrew word that literally means to travel, to go about. When used of persons, as in the description of either God's judgment on the people of Judah or his universal judgment of people for sinning against him, as stated in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 17. Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 17. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 17 reads, I will bring distress on the people, and they will walk. That's a Hebrew word, literally. They will walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust, and the entrails like filth. So figuratively, the word may mean to pass away or to die. In phrases denoting or implying death, as the word is used by Joshua to indicate his approaching death in Joshua chapter 23 verse 14. Joshua chapter 23 verse 14. Joshua chapter 23 verse 14 reads this way, Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and so that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Now, in this passage, though, our Hebrew word is translated go. But the sense of the sentence, I'm about to go the way of all the earth, is that of impending death. So that the Hebrew line is translated in some English versions to reflect death. So we find in the New English Translation, this is where they rendered it. They say, I'm about to die. Now, this is one of those blessings. Not too many people have it, get through this in this life or get it. But there are some believers that the Lord bless this way. They have an idea, not the exact date, not the exact minute or time, but they have an idea. I'm about to die. And he was one of those. And so that's what he's saying. I'm going the way of the earth. It just means I'm about to die. So this, and the New English Translation at least rendered it to show or convey that sense. Now, the word may also mean to behave, to conduct, or to live. That is, to go about doing certain things or certain actions in a regular, more or less consistent manner. So, possibly, constituting a lifestyle of a person. As an instruction given to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 33. It reads, walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. So the command, walk in all the way that the Lord has commanded you, is an idiom in the Old Testament that means to live one's life as God requires. That implies that one obeys God's commandments, statutes, and ordinances as given to Israel by God through Moses. Now it is in the sense of conducting them one's life in accordance with God's word or law that the word is used in the instruction of Leviticus chapter 20 verse 23. Leviticus chapter 20 verse 23. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 23 reads, you must not live according to the customs of the nations I am going to drive out before you, because they did all these things, I abhor them. Here, live is how the word is rendered. And this is one of those passages that consistently causes me to bring to our attention that we are always believers commanded not to live according to the nations who do not know God. And that means that even as in this country, that we're not to live according to the unbelievers. Figuratively, the word also may mean to follow. In this case, to follow instruction, as it is used in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. And hold on to Exodus. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4 reads, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Now, the sentence, they will follow my instructions, is literally from the Hebrew, they will walk in my law. Now, in our passage of Psalm 89, verse 15, it really means to live. In the sense of to live life or carry on mode of existence. Thus then the word is used to describe the behavior or the lifestyle of those described as truly happy. Now be that as it may, the second characteristic of the person then, of the persons who are truly happy, is that they conduct or live their lives always mindful of the presence of God, as given in the clause, who walk in the light of your presence. Or literally, they walk about in the light of your face. Now, the idea of being mindful of God's presence is given in the key phrase here, when it says, in the light of your presence. In the light of your presence. Or literally, again, the Hebrew says, in the light of your face. Now there are two key words that are necessary to understand that key phrase, in the light of your presence. Now the first one is the word presence, or in the literal translation, face. That the word presence is translated from a Hebrew word that literally may mean the front part of the head, including main organs for perception and speech. That is eyes, mouth, and nose. Hence, simply means face. As it is used in the description of Moses after he received the law from God, as given in Exodus chapter 34, verse 30. Exodus chapter 34, verse 30. It is, when Aaron and the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. And there's something about, you know, spending time with God as Moses did for those 40 days, getting the word, and that did something. And it should be true to an extent, not necessarily the same magnitude, but we all, if we spend time enough in the word, and actually fellowship with the Lord in the terms of not being carried away with this world, we should reflect in our faces some kind of radiance that people can see and marvel about us or wonder what's going on with us. Now, anyway, the word has several usages that do not refer to the literal face. Therefore, it is necessary then for us to explore these usages, since it is not used in the literal sense in our passage. Now, let me make this comment. Many times when we do these war studies, the thing is, it should help you to have general knowledge about a certain word. So that when you are reading your Bible, and you run into some of these, you say, maybe it's one of those. And then you try to see if that fits it. Especially if you read it and it doesn't make sense in the literal sense, you say, maybe there's something figurative about this. Anyway, so the word face, the Hebrew word face, may mean in front of, as it is used in the law's instruction through Moses to Aaron regarding entrance to the most holy place of the tent of meeting in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2 reads, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die, because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover.'" See that the phrase "in front of the atonement cover" is literally from the Hebrew "to the face of the atonement cover." Now the word may mean presence or person, as prophet Elisha's response to the king of Israel that came to consult him about going to war, as recorded in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 14. It is, "Elisha said, 'As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you or even notice you.'" Now, of course, the phrase, "the face of Jehoshaphat," the presence of Jehoshaphat, is literally from the Hebrew, "the face of Jehoshaphat." Now, the Hebrew word may also mean surface, as it is used or associated with water in Job chapter 24, verse 18. Job Job 24 verse 18. It is, "Yet they are foam on the surface of the water, their portion of the land is cursed, so that no one goes to the vineyards. Now the phrase surface of water is literally from the Hebrew face of the water. Face of the water. Now the word may mean sight, as it is used in Prophet Jeremiah's prayer against those who persecuted him for declaring God's truth, as stated in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 23 reads, "But you know, O Lord, all their plots to kill me. Do not forgive them their crimes, or blot out their sins from your sight. Let them be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger." Now the word also means, the word may mean favor. Favor that may be used either of God or humans, as it is used in Daniel's confession of Israel's sins in his prayer recorded for us in Daniel chapter 9 verse 13. Daniel chapter 9 verse 13. Daniel chapter 9 verse 13. It reads, "Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth." See, that phrase, "not sought the favor of the Lord," is literally "not appease the face of the Lord." Not appease the face of the Lord. Now the word may mean attitude, as Jacob used the word to explain to his wives regarding the conduct of their father towards him, as we read in Genesis chapter 31, verse 5. Genesis chapter 31, verse 5. Genesis 31 verse 5 reads, "He said to them, I see that your father's attitude toward me is not what it was before. But the God of my father has been with me." See, that phrase, "your father's attitude," is literally, the Hebrew says, "the face of your father." See, our face tells a lot about us at any given instant. Now, since the word is not used in a literal sense, the meaning in our passage of Psalm 89:15 is either presence or favor. It could be either presence or favor. Now, to help us, since the meaning of words should come from the context, so to decide which is intended, whether it is favor or presence, we need to examine the second key word in the phrase when it says, "in the light of your presence," or literally again, "in the light of your face." The key word then is light. Light. Now the word light is translated from a Hebrew word that literally means light, as that which contrasts with darkness. Now the word may mean dawn, as it is used to describe the time the Philistines planned to kill Samson, as we read in Judges chapter 16, verse 2. Judges, chapter 16, verse 2. Judges, chapter 16, verse 2 reads, "The people of Gaza were told, 'Something is here.' So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, 'At dawn, we will kill him.'" Now that phrase, "at dawn," is literally "till the light of the morning." That's what the Hebrew reads. "Till the light of the morning." Now the word may also mean lightning. Lightning. As what God controls in Job chapter 36, verse 32. Job 36, verse 32. It reads, "He fills his hands with lightning." That's God. God fills his hand with lightning and commands it to strike its mark. In other words, we should know that lightning doesn't strike anywhere. It's not except if it's not the mark that God sent it to do. So whatever reason, he does that. He uses these things to do his whatever he wants to accomplish. So that's why he says he fills his hands with lightning. That's just a figurative way of saying he controls it and directs it. Because God doesn't have hand, it's a spirit. So he says he fills his hands with lightning. That's a Hebrew word, light. And commands it to strike its mark. Now figuratively though, the Hebrew word light is used in many ways. Light is used for the symbol of good fortune or happiness of life. So light, and when you read, say light, in some passages as you read, you may think in terms of good fortune or happiness or even relief in life. As it is used in Job, chapter 30, verse 26. Job, chapter 30, verse 26. It is, "Yet, when I hope for good, evil came. When I looked for light, then came darkness." Now, when you read this kind of thing, once you read it, you say, I look for light, then comes darkness. Does it mean he wants to see the sunset? And that didn't happen, no. In this particular passage, light is equated to good, while darkness is equated to evil, from the first part of the verse. So in this context then, evil that is symbolized with darkness is misfortune or misery. So that when Job said in the first line that he hoped for good, instead he got evil. He meant that he expected good fortune. He expected good fortune or happiness, but got misery or unhappiness. Now it is this concept then that is repeated in the second clause of the sentence, Thus, we can now know that light is used for good fortune or happiness. Now, light is used to symbolize life or good health, as in Psalms chapter 13, verse 3. Psalms 13, verse 3. It reads, "Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death." So you see, because bright eyes were considered sign of good health. So giving light to the eyes means to restore one's life in the sense of strength, health, and vigor. Now, so here, light can be dealing symbolizing good health. Now, the sense of light symbolizing life, though, is also reflected in Psalms 49, verse 19. Psalms 49, verse 19. It is, "He will join the generation of his fathers who will never see the light of life." And so, I'm going to give you more usages of light. The thing is, we get into trouble when we think we can interpret the Bible any way we choose. There's always one meaning to a passage. It may have several applications, but in terms of interpretation, there's always one meaning. And that's why you need to know some of these figurative usages. Otherwise, people come up with all kinds of things. They say, "I think that's what the passage means." No, the passage has one definite meaning that you need to know certain things to recognize what the meaning is. So light is used as a figure of God's salvation. In Psalms 97 verse 11. Psalms 97 verse 11. Here we're seeing light in a sense as really a symbol or a figure for God's salvation. It is, "Light is shade upon the righteous and joy on the upright in heart." Now in this passage, light here though is a figure for God's salvation. God's salvation. So his goodness and his blessings on his people. So when he said light, he shed light on the righteous. He's talking about the salvation, God's goodness, of course, and his blessing. Now, another use of light in a figurative manner is related to understanding or mental excellence. Mental excellence. So, it is equated to understanding in Psalms 119, verse 130. Psalms 119 verse 130. Psalms 119 verse 130. It says, "The unfolding of your words gives light, Now, what light? I mean, the reading the Bible doesn't mean that if you read the Bible, light starts coming inside the house or whatever. No. I mean, if it's dark and you're using something. No, but it says the unfolding of your word gives light. Then, to help us understand what it means, look at the next verse. It gives understanding to the simple. So that means if the word of God gives light, but then it tells us that word gives understanding, then immediately we see this equivalency. Light is equivalent to understanding. Now, those, when you begin to really get into the word of God and begin to comprehend it, you will expand your understanding. Now, you'll be able to perceive things faster about life, about things going on, than you used to do. And people will marvel, thinking that you're smart. You need to tell them, I'm not smart. I'm just getting understanding from God's word. Now, light then is linked with mental excellence. In Daniel chapter 5, verse 11. Daniel chapter 5, verse 11. He reads, Daniel chapter 5, verse 11 reads, there is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, I say, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. See, the translation of the NIV uses the word insight, for the Hebrew word that literally reads light. Since the phrase insight and intelligence and wisdom is literally from the Hebrew, light and understanding and wisdom. Now we see that light is used for mental excellence. So since you have the word understanding here and wisdom, the next thing is light to reflect insight. Because that's what Daniel was able to perceive. Because of God's goodness to him and gift, he can look at things and perceive through what God gives him things no other person could. Still though, another use of light in a figurative manner, like that of lamp, of course, is as a reference for guidance. Light can mean guidance, or it is used to reference guidance, as in Psalms 43, verse 3. Psalms 43, verse 3. It is, send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Now this passage indicates then that light may be used for lamp, since lamp provides guidance at night. Of course, it's not only this passage though that enables us to see that light may be equated to a lamp. Now David called the Lord his lamp in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29. 2 Samuel chapter 22, Second Samuel, chapter 22, verse 29. It reads, Second Samuel, chapter 22, verse 29 reads, "You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light." So, here clearly, "You are my lamp" means you are my guidance, Lord. Now, anyway, light is also used for instruction, as in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 reads, "For these commands are a lamp, this teaching is a light, and the corrections of discipline are the way to life." Now, the standard Hebrew English lexicon of Brown, David, and Briggs suggests that the sentence here, "These commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light." They say it may be translated this way: the commandment is a lamp and instruction a light. So that there's a connection between light and instruction. Now, the word light, though, conveys various meanings when used of God. When we use word light and you read and it's concerned with God, there are several ways you can understand it. Thus, Prophet Micaiah used the word light to describe God himself in Micaiah chapter 7, verse 8. Micaiah chapter 7, verse 8. It reads, Micaiah chapter 7, verse 8 reads, "Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Do I sit in darkness? The Lord will be my light." Now, according to the authorities in the Hebrew language, the sentence, "The Lord will be my light," should not be understood as a designation for a metaphysical or supernatural nature of God. Instead, it is to be understood as conveying that God will be the prophet's help and the prophet's salvation. So light, when used of God, may then refer to his glorious acts on behalf of his people, as that is the sense that the word is used by prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 60, verse 1. Now again, the various usages of light, as we'll still continue to show you, is so you know that when you look at certain passage that you think about it, you might wonder which meaning of light is involved here. Doesn't mean you remember all of them, but I believe if you paid attention, the Holy Spirit one way or the other help you to see that. Anyway, here it says, Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." Now the phrase "your light" is parallel to and refers to the phrase "the glory of the Lord." But the United Bible Society handbook says then that the phrase "your light" is a metaphor for God's glorious acts on behalf of Israel. And so the word "light," when used with the word "face," may have different meanings depending on the subject involved. So when woman is the subject, light used with face may mean cheerfulness. Cheerfulness. As it is used in Job chapter 29, verse 24. Job chapter 29 verse 24. It reads, "When I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. The light of my face was precious to them." Now that phrase, "the light of my face," is Job's cheerfulness that refers to his goodness, since the glow or light from a ruler was considered something favorable. You know, for a king to smile at you was considered something favorable. So the sense of cheerfulness then involved in the phrase "the light of my face" is reflected in the translation of the today's English version, in that instead of the sentence "the light of my face was precious to them," that you have in the NIV, is the way they translated it. My cheerfulness, or my cheerful face, encourages them. My cheerful face. So anyway, the face of a ruler, as I said, is considered favor, which is associated with light. In other words, once a ruler smiles at somebody, is considered a favor. This we can gather from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 15. It is, "When a king's face brightens, it means life. His favor is like a rain cloud in spring." See, that clause, "when a king's face brightens, it means life," is literally, "in the light of a king's face is life." So that you see, at that time, a king smiling at you, that brings the favor. So anyway, when light is used with face in relation to God, though, it may mean his favor and grace. Light combined with his face may mean his favor and grace, as in Psalms 44, verse 3. Psalm 44, Psalm 44, verse 3. It is, "It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them." See that phrase, look at that phrase. It's talking about God, because he's the one that gave all this victory to Israel. They didn't win it by their might or power, but God did all that for them. So here he says, the light of your face. The light of your face. That actually refers to God's favor or grace and his goodness. Now, another meaning of the words light and face, when used together referring to God, is his presence. His presence. So if you see the two together in the passage, you read, look at it carefully, he may be referring to his presence. As it is in Psalms 90 verse 8. Psalms 90 verse 8. Reads, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Because here, presence is warfare. So, when you use the two together, we just simply talk about God's presence. So then, in our passage of Psalm 89 verse 15, he may then mean presence or grace or favor. Presence, grace or favor. Now, the meaning grace or favor makes sense because of the meaning favor that we indicated as a possible meaning of the Hebrew word that literally means face. So, the idea of favor or grace is possible. But, there of course face translated presence in the phrase of Psalm 89:15 when it says, in the light of your presence. So that we're saying is possible. It could mean grace or favor. Now this notwithstanding though, it is the meaning presence that best fits the phrase that we're considering. Because the light of your face, we say, although the light of your face literally can refer to his grace, his favor, whether it is the meaning, the presence, his presence is best meaning for our context. Now, this is because we have noted that the word work is concerned with conduct. With conduct. So, it is the conduct of a person in the presence of God that was foremost in the mind of the psalmist, since the fourth characteristic of those who are truly happy is concerned with righteousness. That is also concerned with doing what is right. We'll get to that as we continue our study anyway. Hence, then, what we do is we contend then that the second characteristic, if we take meaning as presence, then the second characteristic of those who are truly happy is that they conduct their life always mindful of the presence of God. Now this, we go to a long way, the right way. I understand that. And sometimes, it may be long, but so you know, when we give the interpretation, you see where we come from. It's not something you can gaze, because you have all this, you can go home and try to plug in other meanings and see if they fit in. So that's why I can say to you that what is highly recognized, what we do here is what is called expository teaching. And it is recognized as the best way of explaining the Bible, which means you deal with expository teaching, you must deal with the sentences, phrases, and words. And you can tell it is laborious to do that. Just listening to me, some of you already, oh, I don't. Right? But I enjoy doing it, so you should enjoy listening to it. If it's the same Holy Spirit that does that for me, it's in you, you should enjoy it. And if you're not enjoying it, you're not really a happy person. Right? That's what we're starting. Anyway, so then, here's the thing. The phrase, in the light of your presence, is a reminder. It's, you know, it's just not that it's put in there. It has to convey something. So, that phrase, in the light of your presence, is a reminder of the doctrine of the omnipresence of God. The light of your presence should remind us of the doctrine of the omnipresence of God. That simply means, though, I know most of you think about it as God is everywhere. Well, that's good. That's good. But really, to be much more accurate, it means when we say God is omnipresent, we mean there is no space, no space that is not filled with the whole being of God at the same time. There's no space. That means there's no space on this planet that is not filled with the entire being of God. Not just being that it's everywhere, it means every space, every crack is filled with his entire being at the same time. So, God is present everywhere at the same time, no doubt. Now, this doctrine, though, is asserted in the questions of the Lord through Prophet Jeremiah, that indicates there is no place, either in heaven or on the earth, that is devoid of his presence, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23-24. Jeremiah. Chapter 23, verses 23-24. It reads, am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, declares the Lord? Feel. Not being everywhere, feel. That's every space. Now the psalmist also declared this doctrine in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Psalms. And hold on to that Psalms. I go to one passage and come right back to that Psalm. Psalms 139, verses 7 through 10. Verse 7 reads, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Thus then, it should be clear that there's nowhere, no space, that God is not present. That's the issue. So then, this doctrine of knowing that there's no space, that is devoid of the total being of God, certainly gives comfort to the believers in that, for example, it gives the believer the assurance that God can deliver his people from all dangers, regardless of the location, as implied in Isaiah 43, verse 2. In other words, if every space is filled by him as God, then it doesn't matter where you are and you face danger, he's there. So he can handle with that. So that should give you comfort. So this is why he can tell Israel, Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. So, this doctrine, no doubt, should give you assurance of his protection. In other words, it doesn't matter what is taking place. Nothing is every we are surrounded with space. So nothing is going to penetrate that space to touch you. Unless there is a reason in his plan. Otherwise, you are protected. So that's this doctrine should give you confidence that fear protection. But at the same time though, this doctrine should put fear in the believer to recognize there is no place for us to hide when it comes to sin. The psalmist recognizes truth too, that he conveyed that God knows his thoughts, that he will say or what he was about to utter before it even comes out of his mouth. As in Psalms 139, verses 2 through 4. And looking at the clock, that's time for break, and after break we'll read that.